Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say.
On last week's show, we discussed what it would mean if the law has truly been abolished. And we found that the implications are simply disastrous. But someone suggested that I should go a step further and discuss whether the law, that is the Torah, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, even apply to Gentile believers, since many, if not most of those who are listening to this radio station are not Jewish. I thought, you know, that's a good idea. So let's talk about that. The first thing I want you to remember is that salvation is by faith, not by works. There's nothing that I discuss in my radio show that intends to suggest otherwise. Simply put, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." So when we keep God's commandments, it is not to be saved, but it is because we have been saved by faith. As our own Messiah Yeshua or Jesus said in John 14:15, He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The second thing to remember is that not all of the commandments, statutes, and judgments in the Torah are intended to apply to every person. They never were. For example, some of God's instructions apply only to the priesthood, such as the prohibition against drinking wine or intoxicating drink before serving in the tabernacle or later in the temple. As Leviticus chapter 10, verses 8 to 11 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, 'Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between the holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses.'" So the Lord's own words restrict this commandment to Aaron and his descendants, that is the priesthood, who served in the tabernacle in the wilderness and later in the temple when it was established in Jerusalem. Likewise, there are some commandments that apply only to women, such as those concerning childbirth. In Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we read, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a woman has conceived and borne a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary, until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who is born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. One is a burnt offering, the other is a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean." So just as Leviticus 10 applied only to the priesthood, Leviticus 12 applies only to the women who have given birth to a child. So neither would apply to the average Jewish man or the average Gentile man. But if we continue, there are further restrictions in the commandments, such as some can only be performed in the city of Jerusalem, at the tabernacle, or later the temple, such as sacrifices and tithes. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 5 to 7, says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses, out of all your tribes, to put his name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you." So the sacrifices can only be done at the temple in Jerusalem. Likewise, the tithe must go to the temple in Jerusalem. Since right now there is no temple standing in the city of Jerusalem, these commandments are not binding upon us. Once the temple is rebuilt, which I believe will be very, very shortly, then these commandments will once more apply. So, since there are different commandments that are for specific target audiences, the question is, are there any that apply to Gentiles as well as to Jewish people? Simple answer is, yes, there are. First, let's look at our father Abraham. He is often cited in the New Testament for his faith, right? As examples for you and me and everyone who was born from the Gentile world. In fact, the scriptures are clear in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, that he, meaning Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. So the scripture is clear that Abraham was saved by faith, not by works. The Apostle Paul recounts this in the book of Romans, when in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Now let's remember that Abraham was a Gentile. He would be an ancestor of the Jewish nation and for many Gentile nations, yet the scripture records for us that Abraham, who was a Gentile, was obedient to the commandments of God. As we read in Genesis chapter 26, verses 4 to 5, it says, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So even though the scripture is clear that Abraham was a Gentile, it's also clear that he was obedient to the voice of the Lord and kept every charge, commandment, statute, and law that the Lord commanded. And we read here that it was because of Abraham's obedience to the commandments, statutes, and laws of God that God promised Abraham the blessings of many descendants, possession of the land, and that he would be the progenitor of the Messiah. In fact, in the Torah, that is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, sometimes called the Pentateuch, we find several references to the commandments applying to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. For example, in Numbers chapter 15, verses 14 to 16, we read, "And if a stranger dwells with you, or whoever is among you throughout your generations, and would present an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so shall he do. One ordinance shall be for you of the assembly, and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. One law and one custom shall be for you, and for the stranger who dwells with you." Again, let's not miss that last sentence. One law, that's one Torah, and one custom shall be for you, that is the Jewish people, and for the stranger, that is the Gentile, who dwells with you. So the phrase, quote, "the stranger who dwells with you," unquote, refers to the Gentiles who choose to dwell with the Jewish people. These are a picture of those the Apostle Paul referred to in Romans chapter 11, verse 24 as, quote, cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, end quote. So while Christian theologians usually cite the Apostle Paul as teaching that the commandments of God are not applicable to the Gentile believers, on the contrary, he taught that, quote, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters, end quote. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19. Once more, Paul wrote specifically, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. So Paul is quite clear that whether you were born a Jew or a Gentile, that's not what matters to God. Rather, keeping the commandments of God is very important. Here he essentially echoes the determination of King Solomon, who said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, everything you and I do is going to be judged by God come judgment day. And the standard he's going to use is his word. What did he tell us in his word to do or not to do? And did we follow his instructions? Well, what did our Messiah Yeshua or Jesus teach? In John 14:15, he said, quote, if you love me, keep my commandments, end quote. But this was not all. He further taught that disobedience to God's commandments demonstrates a lack of love for Messiah Yeshua and for his Father, God Almighty. In John 14, verses 23 to 24, he said, Yeshua answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Notice that Messiah Yeshua did not replace God's commandments. Rather, he says specifically that the words he speaks are from the Father. And again in John chapter 16, verses 9 to 10, he says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The Apostle John further explains that acting contrary to the law, that is the Torah, is the very definition of sin. When in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he wrote, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The word lawlessness in Greek is anomia. A means against or contrary to, and nomos is the law or the Torah. So when it says sin is lawlessness, it means sin is that which is contrary to God's commandments, statutes, and judgments that we call the law or the Torah. I keep using the phrase Torah instead of law because law is really not a good translation. The word Torah means God's instruction, how he instructed his children to live in a way that is pleasing unto him. So since law is the definition of what God wants us to follow, and since the Bible in 1 John 3, 4 defines lawlessness as sin, we must ask the question, do Gentiles sin? The answer is, of course. Remember the Apostle Paul said that, quote, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, unquote. That's Romans 3:23. If sin is acting contrary to the law and Gentiles sin, then Gentiles, when they sin, are acting contrary to the law. This is only possible because the law applies to Gentiles. Have we forgotten that Adam and Eve were Gentiles? Yet when they disobeyed God's commandment, it caused the fall of all mankind. What did they do? God commanded them not to eat from the tree, and they ate from it. So they ate that which God forbid them to eat, and it caused the fall of all mankind. Why didn't they object and say, "But God, we're not Jews, we don't have to follow your commandments"? Well, of course, that would have been an irrational argument. John also echoed the sentiments of Messiah Yeshua when John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So we must ask the question, is the New Testament written only to Jews? And of course, you all know the answer to that is absolutely not. Then for Gentiles, as well as for Jews, breaking the commandments of God is sin. In addition, John reminds us that this is not something new. In 2 John chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." In other words, that's the way it's always been. It's not a new topic that John's bringing up. He's simply reminding us that this has been true since the beginning. Remember, Abraham kept the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And according to the Apostle Paul, some sins, that is, some breaches of the commandments, are so serious that anyone who commits them will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." So what Paul is saying is that if you're committing any of these sins, you are not saved. Doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile. Saved people do not do these things. And we need to take another look at this list, because our society in America today runs so much afoul of the Bible that people who believe they're saved are going to find out come Judgment Day that they never were. What's a fornicator? A fornicator is one who's having sex outside of and before marriage. So when teenagers in high school today are hooking up on the weekends, this tells us that they are not saved, that they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven unless they repent of this conduct. That is, unless they are saved by faith in Messiah, renounce these sins, and don't commit them anymore. You cannot continue in these sins and be saved. I didn't say that. Paul did. Not just fornicators, but idolaters. Our society is steeped in so much idolatry, we don't even recognize it anymore. Sunday worship, Easter eggs, and Easter bunnies, and Christmas trees, these things are all straight out of pagan idolatry. And I realize people say, yeah, but that's not the way we mean it. And I understand that. But what does God remember? God remembers the pagan idolatry of the past and how much these things hurt him. And in Deuteronomy chapter 12, he said, "Don't do these things to me." But those instructions have been lost over time. Also says, "Nor adulterers," if you're committing sex outside of your marriage with other people. The scriptures say you are not saved. It doesn't mean you're just having fun or that everybody's doing it. Scripture says you're not saved. Nor homosexuals. How many churches today are ordaining homosexuals and putting them in the pulpit? Apostle Paul says they're not saved. So how can someone who's not saved lead God's house? Nor sodomites. Again, part of homosexuality. Nor thieves. Are we cheating on our taxes? Are we stealing from the government? Are we shoplifting from Walmart? Scripture says if you're doing those things, you're not saved. Nor covetous. Does it tear you up inside that your neighbor has something you don't? He's got more toys or he's got better toys? If you're torn up over these things, you need to repent. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. Paul's very clear. Says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul is writing to the Gentile believers in the church at Corinth, saying you used to commit some of these sins, but that was before you got saved. Now that you've gotten saved and repented of your sins, you cannot walk in these things. If you do, Paul says, you're simply not saved. So when Paul wrote this, he was addressing the Gentile believers in the church at Corinth. And this is not the only church to whom Paul wrote such things. Here's what Paul said to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and God. And let's look, here's what Paul said to the church at Galatia. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, he wrote, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul has told the Galatians, the Ephesians, and the Corinthians that you cannot be a Christian, a believer in the true and living God, and be saved if you are doing these things. You must repent and turn away from them. Again, how many times does repent or repentance appear in the New Testament? 60 times. But unfortunately, in our American society, we have forgotten the concept of repentance. Repentance is to turn away from the sin, to stop doing them. But unfortunately, rather, we've been taught that the commandments simply don't apply to us. So it's not wrong to break them. That's not what the Apostle Paul has taught. Messiah Yeshua, Jesus himself, confirms Paul's writings. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 to 15, Messiah writes, Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city, that city being the New Jerusalem. He said, But outside are dogs, meaning male homosexuals, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Again, I ask you, is the New Testament written only for the Jews? No, indeed. Consider for a moment the words of the Great Commission spoken by Messiah Yeshua after his resurrection in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It says, And Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. I got to stop for a minute. The word disciple means student. So it says, Go, therefore, and make students of all the nations. And the word nations are the Gentiles. So we're supposed to go and make the Gentiles students of what? Let's keep reading. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, that's what you do to students, right? You teach them. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So the Great Commission, Messiah said to go out to the Gentile nations and teach them all of the commandments, statutes, and judgments. He says, all things that I have commanded you. And who is Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in John 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt or tabernacled amongst us. So Messiah Yeshua is God from all eternity. So when he says, all things whatsoever that I have commanded you, you've got to go all the way back to Genesis and look at all of the commandments. So clearly all the nations include the Gentiles. And what were the disciples to teach all the nations? They were to teach them to observe all things that Messiah commanded. And who is Messiah but God from all eternity? Again, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then this Word, the one that we know to be our Messiah Yeshua, became flesh. Our Messiah Yeshua is God incarnate, elsewhere called Emmanuel, which is Hebrew meaning God with us. And again, John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So even the New Testament prophecies reveal that saints or believers in the tribulation period will keep the commandments of God. Revelation 12 verse 17 says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, it says. And again in Revelation 14, 12 it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, even most Gentile believers would agree that all people must follow the, quote, moral, unquote, commandments of the law, such as prohibitions against murder, theft, etc. However, there is no such division of the commandments in the Scripture into moral versus ceremonial or civil. So, the rest of this topic that we discuss in future weeks will address three types of commandments which the traditional church doctrine would classify as ceremonial and therefore irrelevant to Gentile believers. But we're going to look and see what does the Bible say. And we're going to find that the Bible says that the Sabbath, the biblical festivals, and the commandments against eating unclean foods specifically include Gentiles. That is, the Bible itself, the very Word of God, will be very clear that the Sabbath is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike, and that's the way it's always been. The biblical festivals, the ones in Leviticus chapter 23 that teach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and the rapture and the resurrection, second coming, and establishment of the kingdom, they are specifically for Jew and Gentile alike. We're also going to see that the commandments against unclean food specifically included restrictions upon the Gentiles as well as the Jews.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.